I want to begin by sharing with you the scripture text for today from Mark 16. It's in the insert in your bulletin, as is the contemporary word that we'll be looking at from Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. So here is the same story you have heard before, but listen as if it were new to you. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look at the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Many years later, a more pleasing ending was written by people who didn't want the Gospel of Mark to end in this way, but because it's not a very Eastery message. The Gospel of Mark rubs against the grain on Easter Sunday. With this unfinished ending, Mark seems to say, "It isn't over till it's over." This Gospel of Mark is filled with miracles and mysteries of the Son of God, and we're left at the end with a missing in action disciple, women too frightened to move. I have to admit that I, like the redaction critics of old, have to fight back this kind of natural resistance to the first ending of the Gospel of Mark. Because after all, I mean, you're with me, right? Easter is supposed to be about resurrection. But this gospel doesn't finish the story that way. Easter's supposed to be about hope and beauty and joy and love. But this gospel doesn't finish the story that way. Easter's supposed to be wrapped up in a nice little package with colorful paper and a shiny bow and maybe an Easter bunny on top. But that's not how the gospel wraps it up. It would be lovely to pronounce, "He is risen," and go home. But these disciples are left at the tomb with gaping mouths open. What if this refusal to satisfy our hunger for a happy ending is the gospel truth? What if history is more than a mystery that we can write and sing and preach? What if we come to the tomb prepared to decorate with eggs and anthems, expecting to find the risen Christ, and instead we find some stranger telling us, "He's not here and he's not coming back"? What an anticlimactic, un-Eastery message. Empty. That word has a very negative connotation. Think about the times when you have glanced at your dashboard in your car and you have noticed that the arrow has gone all the way to the empty. Empty. Have you ever driven down a dark street, deserted, no light? There are no people in view, no cars moving, no glowing lights in the windows of the homes, and you get a feeling that it's not probably a good place to be driving all alone at night. Empty. Empty stomachs in the children shown on the news. Empty, vacant eyes searching for food and love. Empty factories bustling with employees in days gone by, and now it is empty and overgrown. We don't like that feeling of empty, whether it's parents experiencing empty nest syndrome or opening our wallet to find an empty, warm, worn look with no money inside. But Easter, the cause of Easter, is exactly that, an empty tomb. And that's because, in the words of Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, Easter is not about the afterlife or about happy endings. In fact, these two scholars suggest it's better to understand the Easter story as a biblical parable. A parable, you know, we set aside the facts of the story and we look deeper into the truth that cannot be easily explained. This is how Jesus wants his devotees to know him, not to limit him to a form 2,000 years ago, but to understand resurrection as omnipresence, to perceive him as present in our consciousness and in our action. When we come to this realization, we are being spiritually resurrected with Jesus. As Episcopal priest Carter Hayward wrote, "There are more faces of Jesus on earth throughout history and all of nature than we can even begin to imagine." What if the resurrected Christ is actually in the seeds that he planted that are coming to fruition within us? As we tend to the teachings of Jesus in our own hearts and our spirits, and we become more like him, we resurrect him in our own lives. When we act in ways that are consistent with Jesus' life and teaching, we bring his spirit into union with our own. So Mark's gospel ends with an empty tomb because we are responsible for finishing the story. For some, you see, Easter is simply a pleasant rite of spring, a happy milestone on the journey from wearisome winter to warm days and emerging greenery in April and May. And that's enough for some. But for Christians, that can never be enough, because Easter needs to be more, so very much more. Easter means that there is a promise that emptiness is not the condition for which we are made. The Gospel of Mark leaves the end for us to choose. It's almost as if the resurrection of Christ depends on us. This week I received an Easter email greeting from a group of nuns who create spiritual works of art. In the email was this poem that I'm going to read. It speaks of our metanoia. That's a Greek word for change of heart. The sisters put into words the belief that I share, that Jesus' resurrection has a whole lot less to do with the resuscitation of a body 2,000 years ago, and it has much more to do about the new life that we are called to as Jesus' followers. Here is the poem. Now is the moment of our metanoia, a season for change, a time of forward movement. Together we rejoice in the abundance and the fullness of life, which we are called to embrace and to share. Our transformation, our spring. Let us look toward the possibility, the abundance, and to the transformation to which Jesus calls us. with our eyes open, spirits attentive, and sleeves rolled up, let us follow the God of life. The Gospel of Mark leaves us to choose how the story will end. How are we going to respond to the news of the empty tomb? As we tend this teaching of Jesus within our spirits and we become more like him, we resurrect him in our lives. And when we act in ways that are consistent with Jesus' life and teaching, we bring his spirit into union with our own. And that, my friends, that is resurrection. Let me offer just a few examples. Given the story of the Good Samaritan, which Jesus taught, we are admonished to stand up for the injured and the poor. We are to go out of our way to make certain that humanity, especially those who are disempowered, has what it needs. When we do this, Christ is resurrected. When we plant a tree, we're taking part in God's good creation. We are perpetuating the goodness and the wholeness of God's work. When we do this, Christ is resurrected. When we show compassion for ourselves, for others, for our neighbors, for the earth, we are taking part in Christ's resurrection. When we treat each other with respect, even when we don't agree or don't like him or her, we're taking part in Christ's resurrection. When we show love in spite of fear, when we trust rather than succumb to our fears, we are taking part in Christ's resurrection. As Gandhi notably said, be the change you want to see in the world. When we do this, we are part of Christ's resurrection. We decide how the Gospel of Mark ends, how the risen Christ appears, and the end has not yet been spoken. Praise be to God. Amen. Our closing hymn is the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, and as is tradition, you're invited to stand as you're able to enjoy this sending forth. Yeah.